Christ living in me. And the question was for me, when is it Christ that lives? And when is it me who lives? What does it mean? I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ in this hour of our day. And I trust that you have a wonderful day so far and that you may have a wonderful day before of you. For those who will listen to me on the radio, also a warm welcome to you one and all. And I trust that God will speak to all of us. I would like to invite you to turn together with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 2. And we're going to read some verses together in this hour and to trust the Spirit of God that He will minister to our hearts. But before we do that, let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name in this hour and we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to share your word with all of us. I pray that you will minister to us, Lord, and help us to cooperate with our faculties, with your spirit. Let us reason together as you also invite us to do that. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. And I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be opened, that we can see. Like that song that say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I pray that as we read your word and we share your word and we read other portions of scripture, that we will really see Jesus, that we will really see you the way you want us to see you. And Lord, just as Paul tried to reveal yourself to us as you revealed yourself to him, that you will really be the center of it all. So again, I ask really that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In this hour, wherever we listen at this moment, even over the radio, O Lord, that you will be lifted up, that you will be magnified, bring closer, and Lord, that you will be everything, everything that we want to say, everything that we want to talk about, that it will be Christ-centered, Christ-glorified, and Lord, that we can know that through your Spirit, the exegesis of your word, that it satisfies your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 1, we're going to just read the first 11 verses together. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or the attitude, as some translations say, as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearances as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ really bless the reading of His Word in our hearts in this hour. Folks, the theme of my message to us is love to serve. Yes, love to serve. And I want to start off by asking us a question. And the question is, do we, let's make it personal, do you love to serve? I want you to take that question and digest it for a while. Do I, Chris, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a son, do I love to serve? It's easy to say quickly, I love to serve, man. No, I want you to process before you answer. You know what is so significant for me in the book of Philippians? You take all four chapters and you find in all four chapters how Paul come and bring Christ in the center of each chapter. How he come with the theme not just to be rejoicing in the Lord as a command in Philippians 4:4, but also besides like-mindedness in each chapter or be united in each chapter, but to come and bring Christ in the middle and say that this is our role model that we have to work towards. This is our role model to conform to. And if you think of the word like-minded, it refers to, you know, unity of thought. It talked to the children of God, and he talked about the children of God, not just to them, and he say universally, wherever there is children of God, there is this unity of thought, like-minded. Like who? Like Christ. He say this is, it refers to that one or unity of thought. It refers to the unity of that we all have the same purpose. Think of the word purpose. What's my purpose? What's the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of my calling? It also refers to the unity in spirit among the children of God. And that means it doesn't matter in which denomination you are. If you are truly being reborn out of the Spirit of God, it is something or someone that has united us together, and that is the Holy Spirit. That we are all washed in the same blood of Jesus Christ. It also refers to that we have a common mindset, a certain attitude, as he say, you know, here in Philippians 2, and a certain goal that we need to achieve. I want to read to you in Philippians 1, verse 27. He say, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, there's it again, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. It's that unity, it's that that togetherness, that purpose, that goal, that mindset. Here in Philippians 2:5, in your relationships with one another, having the same attitude or the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In other words, this is what Christ has done, and we need to do the same there. Again, here in chapter 3 of Philippians. And he come to verse 10. I think the most quoted verse for me of Philippians 3 is 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. There he bring Christ in the center of it all. The same in chapter 4. As he talk about the coming of the Messiah, that he is everything, and the church can experiencing him and his fullness, and that my life can be a fragrant offering, acceptable, a sacrifice that will pleasing God. Wow. Always putting Jesus in the middle of every chapter to bring us to that point to say, child of God, this is your model to conform to. This is your life, as it said in Galatians 2:20. Because I have a question many times concerning Galatians 2 verse 20. If he say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ living in me. And the question was for me, when is it Christ that lives? And when is it me who lives? What does it mean? That is, I have died with Christ. I've crucified with him. And it's no longer I that live. It is now Christ that lives in me. How can I discern which is which? And when is it when? And so forth. What about the choices I made? And it was wrong choices. Was it Christ? Was it me? Was it the influence of both? I wonder if you ever think about that. About Galatians 2:20. Maybe I can leave it and hang it in the air and say, I want you to process that. Because our texts say here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that if Christ is not everything, how can we take verse 1 and 2 and live it out? Not so long ago, it's maybe a year or three ago, I asked the Lord one day to take a specific verse in the Bible, and I memorized that verse, and I asked the Lord, Lord, your word say, and this is what it said. He said, no one has ever seen the Father. No one. It is Jesus who reveals the Father to us. And I said, Lord, if no one has ever seen you, I think in a way, I did, and I think many dear children of God did, because the Word of God said, and I said to the Lord, you say, if you love one another, the world will know that you belong to me, that we are children of God. So I said to the Lord, Lord, I will take this particular verse, and I ask you to help me, not just to memorize it, to know it by heart, but to live it out for a whole year. And I'm telling you, there was times that I was so sorry that I ever asked God that, to help me to live that out, that my day-by-day living will match my preaching, will match what that verse say, so that people will see Christ in me and through me. And the challenges that come, how can I take Philippians 2 and say, Lord, what does it mean to me if we need to be one in thought, one in purpose, one in spirit, one in a common mindset of a attitude with goal and one in devotion? Then I take that and I come here by verse 2 and he say, therefore, and I want you to hear me out, because I want to, in a way, work it backwards, forwards. Or not from the top to the bottom, but from the bottom to the top. If I need to be like this, the same love, the same common sharing in the spirit, and the same attitude, and united with Christ, knowing it's not me who unite me to Christ, it was the Holy Spirit that do that. How, what to do? How to go about? Because the therefore is I need to read chapter 1. And I need to understand chapter 1 and take that to heart and to say, where is Paul? What is his circumstances? Where did he found himself? Why do he say that? What happened? Who are the people that he talked to? Because it say of the last verse in chapter 1, I think it is in verse 29 verse and verse 30, say, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have, therefore, because we can get very easily discouraged, we can be very easily be distracted and lose our focus because of what happens to Paul, because of what happens to others when they fall, or not fall, but being go through terrible conflict and trials and challenges because of their faith in Christ. And sometimes it is not just because of their faith in Christ. It is just as Acts say there, that the troubles and the tribulations and the challenges of the Christians are manifold, and we have to go through a lot of that to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because it say here in verse 2, then if there is, and he want to say to us, he say there is the encouragement that comes from united with Christ. There is the comfort from his love. There is the common sharing in the Spirit. There is the tenderness and compassion that Christ had. He say it is there. He said, then make my joy complete by living it, by doing it. Not so long ago, I said many times to many, many fathers who bring their sons and their loved ones to the mission here where we ministering at and to and living here for the past 7, close to 8 years, we live in a fatherless generation. We live in a time where men don't have role models. Our sons don't have any more role models. Thank God for those who do have. And they've been raised and grow up without any fathers anymore. And they do their own thing. Men became disillusioned and they don't know who they are. And folks, no offense, mothers, you can't teach your son how to be a man. He needs a man to show him what it is. And I'm not talking about what the world teaches them. I talk about godly men. So not so long ago, I said to a father and many other fathers, please, if you want to be a father, show that. Everyone can make children, but it is a father. It's a father. It's a man who man up. It's not everyone that can be a father. And if you are a father, show it. And you don't show it by beating your children up. No, discipline has its time and place. But how will our sons know what it is to be a man if they don't see it from our fathers? Not a macho man, but a godly man with godly principles and ethics and values. He say, then make my joy complete. And I want to ask us the question, if I take these 11 verses in a nutshell and ask the question, do I experiencing a deeper sense of what? Listen to this, the effectiveness in my walk with each other, in my relationship with one another. Do I experiencing a deeper sense that it is effective? That I do make a difference because I love to serve. Do I experience a deeper sense of effectiveness about my walk with God? And that is what it is most important. I don't care what people say to me. I think sometimes we listen too much what the world say to us and about us, and we listen to their opinions about us, and we don't care what God say about us. If the world say that we are stupid and we are amavasas and skabangas and we are paras and we will never make it, and they degrade us and they labeled us, we care more about that than what God say that we are the apple of his eye. We are dearly loved by him, that he accept us, and that we are his children, and that he lavished his love upon us, that he sealed us as his children, that we belong to him. We listen seldomly to that. We many times question that while we listen to the world and accept their opinion over us. And that makes us cripple. Is my walk with God really effective? Does it make a difference? Because my walk with God will show in my relationship with one another. The attitude, the like-mindedness, the purpose, the unity, the mindset. This what Paul command us to bring forth in my relationship with one another. John 3:29, the Bible say, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This joy, he say that joy that the friend of the bridegroom experienced, he say, that joy is mine and it is now complete. That is Jesus' joy, and Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. Because very important, like-mindedness is to do what Christ would do, to be like Him. Listen to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. In your relationships, in your conduct with one another, have the same attitude, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And I hope that you listen to the words that that Paul uses here. Listen to verse 7. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness to become like us. Became like us. And listen to this, dear friends. In order for us to be like him, and like him is Christ's likeness, listen to this. He became like us. Our human likeness. If I say he became like us, he's not in our sinful nature and sinful desires. No, the human likeness, the human form. He became a man. He became a person with flesh and blood, fully man and fully God. Here we talk about the humanness of Jesus Christ. God expects us to be like him. And you know what? He left us a model. He left us an example to conform to. He first became a man like us. And he showed us that we can be like him. We don't need to be a hybrid person. We don't need to be half human, half God. No. By the help of his Holy Spirit that dwells within us, if we've been born out of him, we can allow the Spirit of God to transform us, to conform us into his image, into his likeness, to give us that same purpose, to give us that same mindset. But it is also a choice that I make to allow him to do that in my life. Again, I can ask the question, do I like or do I love to serve as my Christ? If you can, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Wow!